Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
He's too damn old.
I know.
He's old.
And you've got three kids.
You don't see color.
Are you serious with me right now?
I am not a liar. You have a lot of nerve.
Don't talk to me like that.
Or what?
Seriously.
Or what?
Or nothing.
Right, exactly. Shut the up.
Erica.
Life is a poker game. And everybody's got to show their cards.
Kathy, shut up.
Kathy. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. That was just a portion of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills trailer, which I think looks fantastic. We're going to be breaking it down frame by frame. My favorite part, of course, was at the end when Erica Jayne, a demon, came over Pathopus, and she was just saying, or what? Or what? I mean, truly, what was going on? It was reminiscent of Amsterdam when she was yelling at our dear Eileen Davidson, saying, you don't know what I go through every night. I mean, I love when that demon takes over Pathopus. Nothing better. Nothing better, you guys. So we're going to be breaking it all down. Also, we're going to be talking about The Real Housewives of Dallas. Don't get mad at me. We're not going to be covering Jersey today. Okay, and that's largely because I didn't get the screener in time, didn't get a chance to watch it yet. So we're not covering it. Maybe on the next episode or something. I don't know. We'll fit it in. We'll catch up at some point. But for now, we're doing Beverly Hills, Dallas. And also, you guys, I got to at least mention the news of Colton Underwood, who was one of the Bachelor people. You know, we dipped into Bachelor Nation earlier this year, or was it last year? I don't know. I can't understand time and space at this point. But Colton just came out to Robin Roberts. It's also been reported that he's got a Netflix series, allegedly, where Gus Kenworthy is going to be his gay spiritual guide. I don't know. We don't know what's going on there. But, you know, it's interesting. I'm happy when anyone comes out. But there's other things with this man that I don't really understand. And, you know, so I don't know if I could even get into detail and speak on it because unclear. But, you know, I'm happy when anyone comes out of the closet. You know, it's a good thing for all involved. I remember my own coming out. And honestly, I wish I could have came out on TV because at that point, you know, you're sort of trickling yourself out. So you're coming out to mom and dad, then your brothers, then your friends, and then your coworker. You're just like having to come out a million times. At least if you get to do it on TV with Robin Roberts, you just say, hey, I'm sucking dick. And then you get to go about your life. You don't got to be doing it every 5 seconds. So, you know, I am a little envious of that. And now he's getting a reality show. They're just giving anyone a reality show these days. Honestly, everyone gets a show on Netflix except Danny. But, you know, he's got one coming. We're going to be watching it. I don't know. We'll see. And I guess we'll get to know this man. I wish I could speak more on it. I just don't understand the intricacies of this human being because I've only dipped into the Bachelor world. I watched that Tayshia season at the La Quinta Inn playgrounds. You know, I felt very claustrophobic at the La Quinta Inn. I love some of the bachelorette people. You know, I love Rachel Lindsay. Oh, she's a queen icon legend. So, you know, we love and support the Bachelor Nation, but I just don't know enough about this man to speak on it. So let's dive into something I am versed in, and that's The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Now, this trailer opens with Dorit saying, guys, let's play a game, two truths and a lie. Now, this has become a trope of The Real Housewives, where we play these icebreaker games. And as someone who was class president in high school, I was class president, and I love these games. They remind me of student council. I was always running these games. You know, we was always having to do these icebreakers at events, and it was truly like I lived for it. You know, student council was like my identity in high school. I remember it was the first time I got, you know, they give you a letter. Like, I had lettered in student council, and I remember my freshman year, I got the letter. And I wanted to get a letterman's jacket, and I told my mom, I said, you know, this is a little letterman's detour. I told my mom, I said, I want to get a letterman's jacket because I just got my letter, my first letter in high school. I got to get the leather jacket. And it was expensive. And I remember my mom didn't want to spend the money at the time. She's like, Dan, you don't need a letter for student council. And I was like, no, mom, no, I already got it. Like, I earned it. Dan, you do not need to go advertising that. You know, Linda was in some ways ahead of her time. You know, she knew that I couldn't withstand that in high school. I've already had to withstand enough. But there was no way that I could be walking around with a leather jacket with a letter on the back that said student council. You know, she knew we support her. Linda knows all. And when it comes down to it, but really they just didn't want to spend the money on the jackets. It's just like, Dan, you can't do that. You got to get a sports one. Got to get a sports one, Dan. You can't just be walking around saying student council on your jacket. And then I never ended up getting that Letterman's jacket. So, you know, that's on me. One of my regrets in life, I think about it every night when I go to bed. I think, why didn't I get that jacket for student council? Maybe I would have gotten bullied a little bit, but at least I would have had the jacket, right? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Anyway, they're playing this on The Housewives, and Dorit says that, and they immediately do a close-up on Erica. So now they're leading us to believe that this whole season is going to be about the Erica Jane, Tom Girardi, orphan widow thing, where they were bamboozling people. And I believe the editors were telling us in this trailer, like, look, Erica's guilty. That's what I believe they were telling us. Subconsciously, subliminally, and even very outright, they were doing close-ups, and there was one point where Erica's like, I'm not a liar. And then they kind of showed her looking like a liar. You know, they know what they're doing over there, Bravo. Those brilliant people, those editors, they really, they come alive when they're doing the trailer for The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. The other day when this came out, I went on YouTube and I was watching all the old trailers. You know, the ones from last season, the season before that, and even the really flop seasons, they give us a good trailer. They know what they're doing. So I salute them today. And Erica says, I did not see this ending this way. I was going to hold that man's hand until he died, she says, in regards to her husband, Tom, who now is saying he's got pretend amnesia or something. He's pretending he didn't know about all the ways he was bamboozling these people, which I don't believe for a second. But she says she's going to hold that man's hand until he died, which leads me to believe that Erica just assumed and knew that he would die before her. And honestly, I would like to maybe analyze that psychologically, but to be honest, like, that man was old. And so I, you know, understand where she's coming from with that. I get it. You know, I get it. If he was maybe like 10 years younger, I'd say, what does that mean? You know, I can't believe she said his, you know, normally when you talk about a loved one, you would say, I was going to hold that man's hand until we both died. You know, you imagine it like The Notebook, where you're just sort of drifting off to sleep next to each other. God, that movie was good, wasn't it? I haven't watched it in a while. I need to watch The Notebook. Somebody remind me, put that in my calendar, Alexa. I need to rewatch that. But yeah, that's how you imagine it. So the fact that Erica just always imagined like he was going to go first, like he was going to croak and then, you know, she's going to move on with her life. I get it. But they keep doing these close-ups. Every time they question Erica, they do close-ups on Sutton's face, where Sutton's like, what the fuck? And they did a close-up, and then they put up one of those Real Houses of Beverly Hills title cards. You know, they like to do that in these trailers, too. So it said, what is true? You know, that's what they put up there. What is true? And I love they're so stupid when they do that. Like, and I don't know, those graphics always look a little janky to me, like when they do what is true. I know something about it reminds me of like 1999 clip art. I'm not sure what that is. Like, I'm expecting Clippy, that paperclip, to pop on screen and be like, do you want to save? Like, that's what I imagine when Beverly Hills does those title cards. But you know what? They're flawless in their trailer production. Maybe those graphics could be spiced up a little bit next year. They did it when Lucy Lucy Apple Juice, which, by the way, you guys, why wasn't it named fucking Apple Juicy? Why did that dog, why was it named Apple Lucy Lucy Apple Juice? It should have been Lucy Lucy Apple Juicy. And I'll never get over that. Anyway, even when they did that trailer, they had those janky graphics where it would look like the clip art. And I would just like maybe enjoy them to step that graphic up a little bit next time. That's my only note. My only note. Okay, I don't have a lot of notes here. Because everything else looks beautiful. You know, the next shot we got in the trailer was this stunning aerial shot of Garcelle and Erica on a mountain. I mean, it didn't even look like there was a camera crew with them. It must have been a drone shot or something. Truly looked next level to me. And honestly, that made me think these people deserve an Emmy. And I don't know if they get respected enough for their cinematography, but it looked so beautiful. And it was just the two of them on a mountain. And Garcelle says, did you have any heads up? Like, is that why you got divorced? And Erica nods yes, but says no. She knew. I believe her to know. By the way, everything in this podcast is alleged because I can't have these lawyers coming after me. So just know that. Know that. Know that, in the words of Alison DeBaud, know that. Everything I'm about to say is a legend, and, you know, it could be true, could be false. But I believe that she knew everything, and so she's saying, she's nodding yes, but saying no, and that's something I would like a psychologist or someone to break down, because, you know, there's something there. There's something there. Then we get another title that says, "What is the lie? What is the lie?" And Dorit says, "Orphans and widows, it makes you sick." And Kyle says to Erica, "Did you know any of this?" And Erica says, "No one knows the answer but him." And Garcelle's looking at her like, "What the fuck? I don't believe any of this." And I believe Garcelle and Sutton are the only ones who feel to me like they might call this stuff out. I feel like the other women are just going to be like, "Okay, whatever Erica says." You know, that's what I'm a little bit worried about this season, because I know they're all good buddies with Erica Jayne. So I don't think they're just going to pat her puss emotionally and let her go on bamboozling the orphans and widows. And so at least we have Garcelle and Sutton, which Sutton finally got a diamond. I'm so happy for her. She got the diamond. It was nice to just see it. I know we got confirmation like last week that she was getting the diamond, but seeing it on screen, holding that diamond, I go, "You go, Sutton." That's a shouting through the screen. And then we start to get sort of like the fun part of the trailer. You know, this is when they cut like, to all the fun stuff, where Lisa Rinna's like, "What's wrong with being fake and phony sometimes?" And then the narration comes in, "This season on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills." And we get all the fun scenes. We get like Lisa Rinna pretending she's in the movie Titanic. Lisa Rinna doesn't seem like she's got a lot going on. You know, it's mostly the Scott Disick stuff and Amelia, which we'll get to. But I do worry that Rinna is best when she's stirring the pot, and it doesn't seem like she stirs the pot this season. That worries me a little bit. I'm concerned. Let's see. Speaking of storylines, Dorit's storyline is she's doing a wedding dress collection, and she does sort of like a curtain reveal where they drop the curtains and we see the wedding dresses behind the windows. Why did I say windows? I sound like my mother now. Sometimes you guys message me and say, like, "Danny, you sound like your mom Linda's, the impression you do of your mom Linda." And honestly, you know, I'm turning into Linda, so it is true. It's true. I do what I do. But she reveals behind the window, that the wedding dress collection. We see these women shopping too, and Kyle's like about to buy something that's over $1 million. And she says, "Who wants to kick in to buy me this?" And Erica Jayne says, "Kick into my legal fund, you bitch." "Kick into my legal fund, you bitch." And look, I can't with this Erica Jayne. I just, I need her to get called out on her shit. I mean, she's bamboozling the other people, apparently, allegedly. Maybe we'll find out more. Maybe there's more to the story, and we'll find out more at BravoTV.com. But I feel like I need the other women to call her out. And you know what this real smoking gun for me with Erica Jayne was? Her makeup's not blended in this season, so I feel like she couldn't pay the glam squad that she normally could. There's even one point later on in the trailer where you see the makeup rubbed off on her shirt. I saw some accounts online post like that you could see the makeup smeared on her neck collar. And that's the kind of thing that happens to me when I do a Zoom interview. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have a glam squad making sure that the makeup's not smearing on my collar. So if you watch my Zoom interviews on YouTube, you'll just see like a bunch of rouge on my neckline. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's something that happens to me. It shouldn't happen to Erica Jayne, who's been perfectly glam this whole show. And what does she have without the glam? What happens next season if she don't have the glam? And she's, you know, accused of bamboozling widows and orphans. I don't know. I don't know. But then we see a scene that I just, you guys, shook me to my core. Shook me to my motherfucking core. And that is Kathy Hilton in a hat that looks like a lampshade. Truly, like, what was going on? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? She looked like she's wearing a lampshade. She looks like she just went up to my lamp in the living room here and put it on her head. And honestly, I loved it. Kathy looks like a weird, quirky presence. She gives me more Kim Richards than Kyle Richards. I get more of that energy from her. There was one point where she howled at the moon, and I thought I was watching Teen Wolf. I thought, where's Michael J. Fox? Because I'm watching Teen Wolf, and Kathy's going to just turn into a wolf because she's howling at the moon. I mean, it was truly shocking. And there was also one point where she was talking, and she sounded just like Paris, her daughter. That excited me. Now, she's only a friend of, but she looks like a large presence. The trailer ended on a Kathy moment, so I'm assuming that Kathy's going to be around quite a bit and a large presence on this show, and that's good. That's good. Then we see all the women dancing. We're introduced to Crystal Minkoff, who, you guys, I'm obsessed with Crystal already. I'm glad she's joining this show. She says to Sutton, "You're an inappropriate, awkward person because you're jealous." And then we get this moment from Sutton. I'm just going to play it here. I'm just going to play. This is what the Sutton moment. Just listen.
You, Crystal. Jealous of what? Your ugly leather pants?
That's a moment, ladies and gentlemen. That's a trailer moment. That's something that I'm going to be thinking about forever. The rest of time. Which, by the way, I just have to say, like, isn't it so funny when we watch these shows and the most ridiculous lines become catchphrases, which is so stupid because in the scripted world, a writer, an actor would kill for a catchphrase. They would kill for a catchphrase. And on these shows, you could say the most insane thing. You could say something like mention it all or clip. You know, Dorinda was just yelling clip at a restaurant midday, and that somehow became a catchphrase that she puts on mugs and sells on her website. Like, what the fuck is that? It's crazy. These people, I get catchphrases out of nothing, and I feel like Sutton just got herself a catchphrase. She just got herself a catchphrase. What am I jealous of? Your ugly leather pants? And then the editors show a close-up of Crystal's leather pants, and I gotta agree with Sutton here. I didn't like them, but I'm no fashionista. I'm a maxinista, so I don't know, but I do love that it's become a catchphrase. Sutton already got herself one. First season with Diamond, and now she's got a catchphrase. It's only a matter of time until she starts selling that on her website or at the store. We're seeing something about leather pants. Loved it. But really, I mean, truly, these catchphrases are insane, and we just support them and celebrate them. I mean, in the Bravo community, we'll celebrate the most ridiculous line that doesn't even make any sense. I'll tell you how I'm doing. Not well, bitch! And then we'll just celebrate it for years to come. You remember when she just, Dorinda's a catchphrase machine, honestly. I'm going to miss that. Remember she was just yelling Giovanni at the stage, and that somehow became a thing. Stock of Giovanni went through the roof after just Dorinda yelling the word Giovanni. And it somehow, somehow became a stupid tagline. I loved it. Love it. You guys, I'm so happy. Can you tell how happy I am when I get a new trailer? Woo! I feel good. I feel great. I feel grand. What's next? We're going to get Potomac trailer. That I'm excited for that. I mean, we're months away from that, but I'm excited. We also got the Family Karma trailer. You guys, season two's coming soon. I can't wait for that. You know, I love my Family Karma. So catch up on that season one. It's fun. So let's see. Oh, we got Crystal Minkoff. Then we see the scene where Kyle says she texted her sister Kim, and Kathy says Kim changed her number. You guys, Kim changed her number and did not give it to her sister Kyle. Kyle doesn't even have Kim's number. She can't get a hold of the sister. And something about that I love. I don't know. I'm not sure what part of it I love the most. The fact that Kim just isn't interested in giving her sister Kyle her number, or Kyle's reaction to it. You know, you could tell she was really shocked on camera, which after so many seasons on this show, I don't think there's been many times now where Kyle's shocked on camera. It just doesn't happen as much anymore. She's seen it all. She's seen it all on this show, and yet we still got a moment in this trailer where she's shocked to find out her sister, one of the only two sisters in her life, did not give her her phone number. And Kathy just rubbed it in her face. She twisted that knife. God bless Kathy. I'm really loving Kathy. You guys, Kathy, Kathy, Kathy. Love her. Give her an Emmy. Okay, so Kyle didn't get the number. Garcelle, we see a little moment where she's sitting down with the kids. She says, "What if I get married again? I want to see Garcelle date. We'll see." We also get Lisa Rinna on the phone with Amelia. Is that the one who's dating Scott Disick? She's dating Scott Disick, and she sort of whispers on the FaceTime. She's like, "I'm dating this guy, Scott," or something like that. And I guess we'll see more of that. I don't like this Scott. Scott's much older. I hate to judge, you know. I've always heard, you know, I think I've said this on the podcast before. Patty Stenger used to say, it's not easy to date someone over 9 years older. She said 9 years is like the cutoff. She says, otherwise, you're born in different generations. It's hard. And Scott is much, much older than Amelia. And Amelia's really young. I don't know. It kind of weirds me out a little bit. I know she's of age, but it gives me a little bit uncomfortableness. A little uncomfortable. It is what it is. That's my feeling on it. Okay, so then we get Sutton versus Crystal. More of that. Crystal says, "You don't see color." And Sutton gets real pissed. She gets real pissed, and I'm not sure I'm ready for this feud. I hadn't heard anything about this feud, but apparently it's the thing. Then we get that Erica Jane Sutton moment. "I'm not a liar. Shut the fuck up." Or what?
Or what?
Seriously.
Or what?
Or what? I feel like my Erica Jane this season is going to be my Luann impression, too. They're just both the Cookie Monster. But she, I mean, a demon. That's a demon. That's a demon. A Pat the Puss demon. What should we call her? PTP demon? You know, Pat the Puss demon? PTP demon just really takes over Erica Jane's body. And I sort of hate, can I just vent for a second? I sort of hate that Erica Jane comes alive once a season. And it's always really good, but it's like, I need that energy all the time. I mean, I don't need her just fighting with anyone willy-nilly, but I do think that that energy, it comes out for like literally 2 minutes a season. And they always put in the trailer, and it almost bamboozles us into thinking that Erica's this really fun housewife. But most of the time, she's not in the mix. She's just sort of stone-faced there throughout all of these group scenes. She previously gave us these great outfits, but now she's given us non-blended makeup and rouge on the collar. So what are we getting from her after this? But they really do trick us into thinking, oh, she's a really great housewife. That whole trailer was about her, and it seemed like she really came alive against Sutton. And that's happened before. Remember that one season where she went after Teddy and said, don't say I have amnesia. I don't have amnesia. Shut the fuck up. You know, she always comes alive for a second, and then that's it. So, look, I'm not bamboozled by Erica Jane anymore. Mm-mm. Those orphans and widows might have been, but not Danny. That was inappropriate, you guys. Pretend I didn't say that. I'm sorry. I didn't really mean it like that. I was just trying to make you guys laugh. But, yeah, she does it. She bamboozles. That's the way we should call her, Bamboozle Jane. Let's see. Then she fights with her. The end of the trailer is just this Kathy moment that is just so good, where she says, life is a poker game, and everyone's got to show their cards. And then Kyle just says, shut the fuck up, Kathy. And that was a moment, too, because I think we get to see the sisterly relationship between Kyle and Kathy in that little moment at the end of the trailer. And it's just so fun to me. And I want to see more of that. Kathy seems quirky and Kyle seems relaxed along with her sister. You know, when Kyle used to do scenes with Kim, she always seemed so uptight. And I get it, because Kim was going through so much. She was really dealing with a lot. So I do appreciate this sort of relaxed version of Kyle alongside quirky Kathy. And I just feel like it's a sisterly relationship. And that's what Beverly Hills, to me, does really well. In the early seasons, I love the sisterly dynamic. Then we kind of got away from that because, you know, Kim was off stealing from a Target or I don't know what else. Remember, she was in the back of that limo with that man that looked like a bull mastiff. And she was doing that. And so we didn't get as much of the sisterly dynamic there for a while when they booted her off the program. And I loved my Kim, too, by the way. I don't mean that as any shade towards Kim, because I love my Kim, want the best for her. But we got away from that Richard-sister dynamic, and it seems like we're getting back to it. And I'm personally excited by that. Maybe some of you aren't, but I am. I feel like it's a better side to Kyle. This season looks good. It looks sort of balanced. But who knows? We all know with these trailers, you guys. These trailers, they make us think we're going into the season, it's going to be great. And then sometimes it's not so great. It's not so great. But to me, I'm excited about Beverly Hills. And again, I like last season, so it looks great to me. I can't wait. We're going to be recapping it here on the show. We're also going to be recapping The Real Housewives of New York. And I'm quite frankly excited to dive in because right now we have Dallas on the air. And you guys, Dallas, what the fuck's going on? Can we talk about that for a second? What the fuck is going on with Dallas? This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
If there's anything that I don't mind coming in last for, it's using this low-hanging testicle. Whose testicles are that low?
I'm Marty. No. Are we good?
Okay. Right there. That's good.
Okay, ready? Charles, you say go.
Okay, I just want to give a brief overview of my thoughts on this week's Dallas. The first thought is, that's my first thought. What is going on over there? And I hate to come on this microphone and just badmouth the show every week. And I'm trying not to do that, but it was a really rough week. We got that Bigfoot man is back. He's got a 2-episode arc on this season of The Real Housewives of Dallas, which is very upsetting to me. Why do we need 2 weeks of that Bigfoot hunter? I mean, good for him. I did feel bad for him last week. Kerry was an asshole, but then I didn't need him back this week to host those Olympics or whatever, those things that Stephanie was planning on the which, you guys, I didn't need to see that. I'm sorry. I know some of you like it. You say it's fun and we're going to see fun. But it wasn't fun to me. I actually found it all very gross. I found the whole thing, seeing the pig and then the salsa in the bed. The first half of this episode of The Real Housewives of Dallas, I found truly disgusting. Like I turned it off at a certain point, you guys. And so I just want to say, turn off this podcast if you don't want to hear me badmouth Dallas, because I understand, you know, if you like this show, if you like this week's episode, just go listen to something else. I get it. You know, just everyone likes something different. So go turn off this podcast and go about your day. But I'm going to drag it for a second. So the first half of the episode was just disgusting, foul even to me. Seeing the pig, the way these women treated this rented house, Kerry throwing all of the salsa on the bed, and they were all saying, like, it looked like diarrhea. And then there was, like, fart bombs. And then Brandy as dressed as Bigfoot jumping in the hot tub. I mean, I honestly felt sick to my stomach, and I'm not exaggerating. Like, I felt it was so disgusting. That image of the bed with the salsa, it's just like not something I need to see. And look, on this program, on The Real Housewives of Dallas, even from the very beginning, they had a lot of poop humor. Remember, they, Brandy at one point wore the hat with the shit in it. They've always had that in this series. That's what the series is about. But this week, it just felt gross to me. And I was literally yelling at the screen. I'm like, I don't need to ever watch this again. I wanted to turn it off. And that's unfortunate, because I felt like the second half of the episode had these beautiful moments between Tiffany and her mom. And we saw some of DeAndra dealing with her family situation, which was very fascinating. There was like a Will situation that was fascinating. But I had to get through a bunch of shit humor to get to that good stuff. And I don't mind a prank on these shows, but these Dallas women, they're always pranking with poop. And I can appreciate a good poop humor. Don't get me wrong. My dad, his favorite scene growing up in that movie Dumb and Dumber, which it was like a family movie. We would watch it every time it was on, Dumb and Dumber. My dad would laugh hysterically, and I would too. I loved Dumb and Dumber as a kid. And there's that scene where Jeff Daniels is in the bathroom. And my dad, he could watch that scene 100 times and have tears in his eyes. And I used to love watching him watch that scene, because Jeff Daniels would be in the bathroom just making fart sounds. And it was so gross, but my dad would just laugh hysterically, and I loved watching him. So I can appreciate that kind of humor. I think that it's actually an underrated form of humor. You know, everyone loves a good fart joke. But there's a point where it takes it too far. And on The Real Housewives of Dallas, like, I don't need them throwing fart bombs at each other and then saying the bed looks like diarrhea and then having to look at it. And then even Brandy in that costume in the hot tub, like, she thought she was so funny. I just could not deal with it. And you could almost see in Cameron's face, because oftentimes on the show, I watch Cameron and I see her looking at everything going on and thinking, how did I get here? How am I part of this? And I felt like that was what was happening. Even DeAndra at one point, I saw the look on her face, and I think she was thinking, like, what the fuck? When Brandy was in the hot tub as the Bigfoot, she was just thinking to herself, like, how did I get here? And they need to do something to save this show. I can't imagine people wanting to tune in to see that first half. Maybe some people like the fun of it, but I didn't think it was very fun. I just thought it was gross. And I understood Cameron was like, I'm going to go get a hotel. I wanted to go get a hotel. I wanted to leave my body, because I was watching this and I'm like, this is just foul. So I'm sorry to just drag it, but I really thought this was a low point. And I think I said last week it was a low point on the show. And I can't imagine going forward with this cast the way that it is. And I think they know. Bravo must know, like, this is not going well, because they produce all these other programs. And so they can see. And the ratings are in the toilet for Dallas, along with their humor. And I don't know. Where do we go from here? But this was the first week where I honestly felt like it was unwatchable. And then halfway through, we switched and we got some other good stuff. The Tiffany with her mom thing. Here's my issue with that. I think it's a beautiful storyline. And if the other women had other things going on, I feel like it wouldn't seem as if Tiffany's sole focus was this relationship with her mom. Because sometimes I feel like Tiffany, you know, we watch her and her scenes become a little bit of a downer because they're so heavy and no one else has anything going on. So it just feels like, oh, we're dealing with this situation with Tiffany and her mom again. But that's only because there's no other storylines going on. You know, DeAndra's got the stuff with her family, but it just feels, it feels weird to me. I'm sorry. I'm just bad mouthing this show. But you know, I guess there were some bright spots. You know, I always say Tiffany's looks in the confessional. She was on Watch What Happens Live too. She always looks stunning. I don't know if she's got a stylist or what, but she looks great. I mean, just the way she's dressing and everything. Next season, I'm imagining they're going to be doing some reconfiguring if they even keep this thing around at this point. Maybe we take some time off. I know with Orange County, they're saying they're taking some time off. Maybe we figure it out, Dallas. We got to figure out what to do because I don't want Dallas to go away, I don't think. But I don't want to continue on with this. And Stephanie's always planning these trips. You know, at least when Cameron planned the trip, it seemed fun. And when we got to Oklahoma, you guys, I thought, I love Oklahoma too. Remember that Sweet Home Oklahoma? Well, I was thinking, why didn't we get them on this episode? But I like Oklahoma. And when we got to that cabin, I thought that cabin looked very cozy and fun. And I thought we were going to get some fun stuff. And then they just trashed it like a frat house. And by the end of the Oklahoma trip, I'm like, this looks like a shithole. It literally looked like the place that I lived. When I lived in Chicago, I lived with five straight guys, you know, in my early 20s. And the house was disgusting. It was the cheapest house. It literally didn't even stand upright. Like, it was on a slant. You'd be walking. I remember my bed. I'd be laying in my bed, and it felt like I was on an elevated chair or something because the floor, nothing was level. It was just the whole house was off balance. Like, the equilibrium on the house was off. But it was so cheap. The rent was cheap. And it was six guys. I was the only gay in the house. And I loved it. We had so much fun. I loved those guys. But you guys, it was disgusting. I think back to that house and I couldn't even believe I lived there because it was just foul. And that's what I felt like when I was at the end of this episode or at the end of the Oklahoma trip in the Real Houses of Dallas. I'm like, am I living back at that house? Because this is disgusting. And I hope that they had renter's insurance. I felt bad for the renters because whoever rented that house to the Real Houses of Dallas, there's no way. I don't think anyone left that episode thinking, I want to stay there. Like, it just looked disgusting. So the renters, whoever gave them that house, probably thought they were going to get good advertisement out of this show. They probably thought, oh, everyone's going to watch this episode of The Real Housewives of Dallas and want to come stay at our house, and then they'll want to rent it. I got news for them. No one's going to want to stay there after seeing how Carrie trashed it. They were all, there was like a dead pig carcass at one. What did they even do? They said they cleaned up the pig carcass, but where did they put it? I don't know. I didn't even like on Atlanta when I had to keep looking at that pig's head. You know, I don't know what they're doing on these shows. Did they get a discount on pigs? Like, why is every show eating a big ass pig? I like ham as much as the next guy, but I don't need it served to me as like a pig carcass. I mean, come on, even on Thanksgiving dinner, you know, you don't see the head of the turkey and you carve it before you put it on the table. But on these shows, we're having to look at all these pig heads. Is pig heads like the new goat yoga? And if so, I don't want it. We're going to have to figure out something else. And speaking of next week on the show, it looks like they're doing a murder mystery party, which we've seen on every one of these shows. And I get it, you guys. The producers got to figure out stuff to do with these people. You know, and sometimes it gets hard. They got to think of new things. But then sometimes it feels like they just got a group on for like a murder mystery party. And then we're watching them every show, or escape rooms, or, you know, those rooms where you destroy everything. I mean, we watch it and then we watch it again and 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 again. I can't do it. I can't do it. This just feels like really low point for The Real Housewives of Dallas. I'm sorry, you guys. I don't. Okay, I'm done trashing it.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Let's think of something good that happened on this episode. Was there anything? I don't know. Oh, even those Olympic Games. I'm not done dragging it, actually. The Olympic Games when Stephanie brought out like the Budweiser torch thing, and then they had to put the testicles around their waist and like put it in a, or hit the Barbasol can. You guys, what was that? What the fuck? And then they had a, I know, she kept calling it the Games or whatever. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. And I like a Games, you guys. Again, I was student council class president in Ohio. We used to play all sorts of icebreaker games. But I didn't need to see that on my Housewives. I didn't need it. I didn't need it. Okay. You guys, I got it all off my chest. You guys, that's the episode for today. I love you all so much for listening. I want to say, I think I mentioned last week, we got the new t-shirts. We got up to 5XL on everythingiconic.store. So if you want one of the t-shirts, they're great for Mother's Day. Everythingiconic.store. Go buy t-shirts, wine glasses, all of it. Up to 5XL, the highest we could get. So what else do we got to talk about? Anything? Do we got anything here? I got to do my little meditation affirmation card for you guys, whether you like it or not, or my cheesy little meditation card. So this is, I want to end the episode with this reminder to tell yourself that I am attraction. So this is going to be a little meditation to remind yourself. Like a magnet, what I put out into the world, I get back. If I lead with negativity, I receive negativity. If I lead with positivity, I receive positivity. Therefore, I choose to lead with positivity. I am attraction. Okay, I just want to say sorry for all the negativity I just spouted on this podcast, because now I realize I put out a lot of negativity, and I didn't mean to do that. So I got to put out some positivity, and that positivity is that I love you all so much for listening. And I hope next week, you know, we can lead with positivity and I won't have to drag this show. I want it to be good. That's the positive here, is I say all these things about Dallas Housewives because I want the show to be good. I care about these people, these women in this network. So next week, I hope to lead with positivity. And I hope you all go about your week leading with positivity. I love you all so much for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk soon. Yeah!